Hey everybody, how you doing? It's Corey Poindexter here with
Bob Fackety.
And today on Small Package.
Hello.
We're telling you all about Raw and SmackDown from this week. We're talking about Clash of Champions. And also, Bob, bringing it with the trivia. Do you know the last time John Cena lost clean on cable television? We fucking do. And we'll tell you here on Small
Package. Oh yeah.
Clash of Champions.
This week on Small Package. Small Package is having an identity crisis. It went Freaky Friday. Bob's now Corey. Corey's now Bob. I have no energy or recollection of anything that has transpired this week.
Are you saying I normally have no idea of what's going on?
No. That's like ice. That's like an icing on the role reversal cake is that I am the down tempo one this week. And then also on top of that, I just am so out of it and confused. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Small Package. Episode 20.
The
Small Package Show.
Friend of the show.
I've had a few people who've been like, wait a second, this isn't like your 19th episode or 20th episode or whatever, because you have all these other little episodes. I'm like, oh, but those don't count. Ross Down Live, and which is formerly Monday Night Ross. And then all the like.
Frankly, it's just a better name, but you know, we have to work with what we got.
Monday Night Ross is, I feel like, a better name than Ross Down Live. I still actually like Ross Down Live because the abbreviation of RDL, the way they do the SDL hashtag, I do enjoy that. But Monday Night Ross was just perfect.
On point.
Maybe at some point we can have more than 12 listeners and get like a Patreon going and make this a full-time thing, and then we could do Monday Night Ross and Ross Down Live.
Right, and it'll be worth our times to do it.
We finally break through.
Make it worth our times, listeners.
Yeah, all
13 of you.
Maybe less. Also, our Serbian market share has gone down.
Oh no.
Before Serbia made up like, I think it was like a strong like 6% of our listeners. Now they're down to like 1%.
What about Deutschland?
Germany's still rocking it though. Yeah, and we have more UK listeners now, which is weird. Huh. We kind of evened out. I was confident enough in my German to like open up the show with like, hello, alle unsere Freunde auf Deutschland.
Und welcome. Willkommen.
Und willkommen.
Aus Small Package.
Small Package Show.
Or also, auf Small Package.
Anyway. I've also had a lot of people, like, what I was continuing my thought was that they were like, so how many episodes of, wait, what's Small Package? And then Small Package, the podcast. I'm like, well, it's almost like, as cocky as this may sound, considering we have maybe like six people who listen to us regularly, it's almost like a network.
It's like Small Package umbrella.
It's like a Small Package umbrella family, you know. Right,
and then you have the Small Package podcast.
This is the Small Package show on like the Small Package podcast network. Like that sounds so fucking pretentious to say.
But no, I mean it's
kind of what's happening though.
If you look at my friend of the show, Greg Miller.
Yeah,
he's kind of funny.
Shout out to Greg Miller, friend of Bob, end of the show.
Yeah, Greg Miller, he started off doing like there's just the kind of funny videos, but now they have like a whole bunch of videos under the kind of funny name.
Oh wait, kind of funny, the actual...
Like YouTube?
YouTube, yeah. I thought you were talking about just like, yeah.
No. The YouTube channel, kind of funny.
I thought you were saying he's kind of funny, and I was like, wow, what a backhanded compliment.
Greg is a funny dude. He's definitely very entertaining.
Kinda is one of those adjectives that I take as being like a little more negative
fair,
in nature.
Fair.
Like, yeah, he's kinda funny. But now it's all been cleared up and I'm...
Yeah, no.
I am running on fumes
apparently
today.
Anyway, but how about we just talk about wrestling that happened this week?
Oh man, do we gotta? I psych, swerve. Actually, wrestling was pretty fucking good this week.
It really wasn't bad.
Yeah.
I have a list of things I want to talk about here.
Look at you.
A couple complaints.
I've got
a couple interesting stats. All of these come courtesy, you know, Squared Circle.
I'm just going to be the co-pilot today, man. you're in charge of the ship. Do not hit an iceberg. We do not have lifeboats. yeah. So, we were just talking about, we talked about all this stuff that I was like in my head preparing for it last week. And I was just like, oh man, I was getting ready to record last week's podcast today. I was like, ugh. All right.
So, oh man, Awesome Kong is getting cast in this. First off, did I mention that there's a Netflix original series getting made about 80s female wrestling?
Glitter?
Glow.
Glow.
Yes.
Glow. Glow Wrestling. That's dope.
And Allison Brie is going to be in it, and it's being written by Genji Kohan, I think, is the guy who made Weeds and
okay.
Orange is the New Black.
Very cool. I mean, this all sounds dope so far.
Awesome Kong has just been cast for it.
Wow. This is going to be interesting. I'm always stoked for more wrestling content as long as I don't have to watch it like on a fixed schedule, because we have enough of that already with 3 hours of Raw and 2 hours of SmackDown and then now pay-per-views every two freaking weeks. I loved the Cruiserweight Classic so much. But
oh,
I'm
yeah, glad Mark Maron is going to be in the series too.
That's rad. I love Mark Maron. That's dope, dude.
Yeah, but it sounds like an interesting...
I loved the Cruiser Classic so much, but I'm glad that it's over, because that was just one more thing every week that I was like, oh god,
right, another thing that we're behind on.
I thought after 5 or 10 hours of wrestling I was done, and then it was like, oh no, but now the best one's on and I'm emotionally exhausted and tired of watching wrestling, which is really a good opinion to have when you're running a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of this bullshit.
And I can't even say I'm over it, because no one will know that that's not what I mean. It's not over with me. I'm done. Okay. So, shall we Raw?
Yeah.
All right.
So, Monday Night Raw, honestly, not a bad show overall. It kept me pretty entertained for 3 hours, but at the same time...
A little long.
A lot of dumb things.
Yeah.
First off, since we're talking about cruiserweights, let's just get this out of the way. They fucking botched it. They fucking botched it hard with this cruiserweight division debut. Holy shit. I mean, they hype up that the cruiserweights are coming. They have this whole huge tournament, international tournament. They make it seem super important. Mm-hmm. Hype it up weeks. Coming in 3 weeks. Coming in 2 weeks. Coming next week. Get fucking pumped. And then it's finally the night of, and the first hour goes by, no cruiserweights.
Mm-hmm.
And the second hour goes by, no mention of cruiserweights.
That did surprise me.
And now we're rolling into the third hour, and we get Mick Foley standing in the middle of the ring, fucking up the lines to a weird, somber, like, intro sequence.
He did kind of fumble. I did think it was kind of funny when,
like, I mean, sure, like, it. Not too many faults on the fumbling, and yeah, it was, but
if anyone can get away with it, it's Mick Foley. Because
at
just
the same point, how are you going to get me excited for the introduction of a new division to your show by having a man awkwardly talk in the middle of a ring who isn't, and very obviously isn't, a cruiserweight himself? Like,
I honestly would have rather.
Where's like the pyro and the, you know, cheerleaders and out comes, you know, TJP holding the belt high, followed by the rest of the guys in like a parade. Like, mm-hmm. They do a lap around the ring. Like, holy shit, that would have been like, everyone would got been mad hype for that.
I would have been really excited to see if they got the alternate ring announcer guy, that the guy who has the booming voice, to be like, and now, ladies and gentlemen, your Raw Cruiserweight Division, and then have, you know, not necessarily all of the guys come out, but have like
a good portion. I thought that they should have done it like how they did debuting the new tag and women's belts on SmackDown.
Bring all the
where they just had everyone in there, and you're like, here's the division, here's the prize. And everyone goes, okay, great.
Right.
Now I see all the players, and I see what they're going for. They didn't even have TJP in the belts.
He could have been on commentary. Think how cool, because it would have given him a chance to like explain.
Get over
him.
More. Yeah.
Explain who he is while watching. I mean, we have, how many champions do we have watch them? Even non-champions. Jack Swagger did it. Like, how many people do we have on commentary giving them a chance to talk on the mic? And we still know only basic vignette stuff from Cruiserweight Classic about TJP.
Right? Like, the fact that they didn't put their champion on the show, on the debut of their division, they don't even show the champion or the belt, and then he has a match at the pay-per-view on Sunday where the crowd don't know who the fuck he is. Like,
a majority probably won't.
Like, what? And he's their champion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and what the fuck?
And he might lose it to Brian Kendrick.
He very well might, because I could totally see them putting the belt on somebody that WWE crowds actually know.
Right.
Then again, if we're talking about kids, Kendrick hasn't been on TV in like 8 years.
Yeah.
That's like a whole generation of wrestling fans that still don't know who he is.
You're going to give me an anxiety attack,
right?
About
like
my
if
age.
You talk to, if you talk to 15
I'm
year
so
olds,
old.
If you talk to 15 year olds, they were like 4 when Kendrick was last on WWE TV.
We're old, Bob. Time stops for no man. We're all dust in the wind. But Brian Kendrick, he very well could walk out with the belt, because he's a, if you're ever going to give him that Cruiserweight belt, the sooner the better. He's old, you know? I mean, he still looks great in the ring, but that being said, he's at his expiration date is his sell by date is definitely coming up.
Fair.
And if you're going to give him a run, you might as well do it now. And, you know, establish maybe a rivalry with TJP, because also is TJP. This is one of the things is really confusing for me about the Cruiserweight division. And I watched the Classic with you is, okay, so which of these guys are going to be faces and which are going to be heels? Because, I mean, you have to, even if the Cruiserweight division doesn't have as much storyline as the other, you know, Raw divisions, which I would be okay with, they're still intrinsically, as wrestling, has to be somewhat face and heel. And Brian Kendrick established heel in that match and at the Cruiserweight Classic.
That being said, though, they've been pushing this redemption story hard for Kendrick, which is a very face thing.
That's also true.
Giving mixed messages.
But they did the same thing for Rollins when he came back.
And now they're kind of pushing him face, though.
But it took a while from that 24 video to now. Like,
but
he
also,
did heal for a while.
Also, I feel like TJP is a pretty natural face, but a lot of people online are like, oh man, his moves and the way he carries himself is so cocky and heelish. Like,
we have no idea.
So honestly, they could do either for either of the wrestlers.
I feel like the only people out of all of the people that are, because like Gallagher's coming up, right? There's a lot of people coming in who from the tournament that weren't on TV yet on Raw.
But I've also read somewhere that like they're debuting with 7 and then like going to pepper the rest in.
Fair.
Like as they finish up their, you know, indie contracts and whatnot.
Sure. But with that being said, the only people where I feel remotely confident in saying, oh, face, heel, or whatever, is Cedric Alexander face, because the please sign Cedric story.
Yeah.
And Brian Kendrick heel, because he's been playing a little dirtier.
I mean, he looks like he would be a heel. Like, if you just looked at him, the way he carries himself is very incredibly heel.
He looks like somebody who literally just stopped doing heroin before he got into the ring for his match. Like, it looks like he should wear more arm pads to hide track marks, is what it looks like. Mm-hmm. He looks rough. Like, time and him got into a scrap outside of the bar, and time kind of whooped his ass a little bit. But, I mean, just his appearance. He's definitely wrestling still at a pretty good caliber. And what do they call it? The captain's hook?
Yeah.
That was kind of
interesting, because they called it in the Cruiserweight Classic, they called it the bully choke.
The bully choke? I actually like that more.
But then everyone was like, well, be a star.
Oh.
bullying, so they can't call it the bully choke. They're gonna call it the captain's hook. But the way he sets it up is so gnarly. Flips him over.
I am such a fan of. That's like one of the reasons why I do like the bank statement so much. Is I'm a fan of grapple moves that then continue into a submission hold. Yeah. Like I love, yeah, pins too. Like the Falcon Arrow that Seth Rollins has been doing is just beautiful. But submissions, especially when you have a move that starts grapple or strike grapple and then rolls over into a submission move, and dude, he just arcs. It's like how when Rusev started doing the accolade with the full body instead of just over the knees, like that little difference in just it looks like he's pulling on you so much harder. And you know what? I also agree with you that I feel like they didn't roll out the cruiserweights to the potential it could have. And I don't think it helped that they waited until, what, like 10:15?
Yeah.
Like, silly. But the match...
The match was great. Don't get me wrong. It you know, also hurt due to the crowd being kind of tired. But they started getting into it by the end, and it hurt from commentary being shitty because it's not Mauro and Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But
we were just talking with Gabe though about how Byron has drastically improved.
Drastically improved, but when you start at zero,
0 × 10 is still zero,
right?
He's getting there. And Graves, I like Graves. I think we talked about this during Raw. Michael Cole kind of healing out a little bit.
A little bit.
It seemed like he was just giving extra shit to Byron. Which, I mean.
Then again, it's also
Byron,
the company punching bag. So
yeah,
everyone gets their hits in.
You just got back. You just got back on the wrestling train a couple years ago. So you probably may not remember how much Michael Cole was the punching bag for so long that he's probably just like, my turn. no one's beating up on old Michael Cole. Michael Cole. So anyway, yeah, great, good match debut for cruiserweights
for sure.
But botched opening for the division.
Right. I mean, not even showing the belt is just so stupid. When you're like, we have a whole new division, but let's not even care what they're going for. Let's not give them motivation.
By the way, what do you think of the cruiserweight belt?
I think it looks great. I've heard some backslash online from it, but I think it looks good. I like the look. It's clean.
It is.
It looks distinct. It's you know, immediately distinctive enough compared to the other ones. If anything, I guess it looks kind of like the SmackDown tag belts.
I could see the comparison a little bit,
but I mean, they're all just, you know, it's a colored strap with silver buckles. And
my initial reaction to the strap was, oh, it kind of looks almost SmackDown colored. But then when I thought about how the Cruiserweight Classic was so branded purple. Purple, it was so purple branded. And then also I liked the fact that when it came time for the Cruiserweight match.
Yeah, they kind of like shifted into Cruiserweight color mode.
Oh yeah, with like the replays and the screen. And I really appreciated that. It made me feel like, oh, this is an exciting, different part of the show that makes it pop and stand out a little bit. Mm-hmm.
So hopefully they can pick up the slack from where they drop the ball in the opening. So
just fingers crossed.
What else? Moving on to the main event.
Just going to move right on.
What else important happened?
Well, Cesaro evened up their best of seven.
In a clean win, I guess.
He actually started to do the foot on the ropes again, and the ref caught
him. Sheamus did that. Sheamus did the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he put his feet on the second rope. So I was like, that's wow, that's quite the elevation on that pin.
So they're evened up.
Yeah.
Do you think we get swerved at Clash of Champions and that Sheamus wins? Do you think they'd let Cesaro come back from three down?
And just, oh man, and just have like Sheamus squash match Cesaro?
Yeah, like in like 15, like the Daniel Bryan 18 second loss at WrestleMania. And then just like have Sheamus go into the crowd and start ripping up Cesaro section signs. So much heat.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's pretty obvious that Cesaro's getting the win here. So,
and then he gets a shot at a title.
I'm pretty sure I saw at some point it was confirmed to be a Universal title shot.
I mean, I'd be fine with that because I think that at some point it would be great to see him get a shot at it. I mean, the guy's a workhorse. He could definitely deserve a shot at it. There's some people on the roster that if you heard they got a main event Universal title shot, you might just sort of go, okay, really? Or, oh, okay, that's good for them, but they don't have a chance to win. Cesaro is one of those people that I would feel like just from his, you know, his work, body of work, and his in-ring ability that it's believable he could win.
I'm just looking it up on the WWE website, and it they keep making it vague.
Yeah, that's
to earn a guaranteed championship opportunity is how they've worded it a couple times I've seen. So who knows? Regardless, I don't think whoever wins that is going to win their championship shot. But I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
There's also one more thing from early in the show.
Yeah.
The delete chance.
Ha. Huh.
Was pretty fun.
They've been popping up a couple times now.
I really dig the delete chance, and I don't know. I know we had a conversation off air about this, but to bring it into on air, the fact that WWE put in a bid for TNA and just the idea of would it be terrible if WWE bought their only mainstream United States based competition, or would it be possible for it to be a good thing where they could sort of roll the plans they kind of had for Evolve into TNA and let it be its own
again?
But NXT,
we don't know what the plans for Evolve are.
Right,
we're
right,
speculating
right.
on that.
Well, everything wrestling is speculating because we never
Vince
know.
McMahon.
Oh, kiss my ass. I mean, I personally think it could be really cool, but then it does bring up the point about then what is NXT? And I mean, all of this is still speculation because it also would require Dixie Carter to actually consider selling to Vince McMahon, which I don't think will happen. But
also, WrestlingNews.co, speaking of TNA, mm-hmm. is running a story right now. WWE wants to sign Matt Hardy.
I bet they do.
Which, I mean, that seems like a pretty obvious statement.
Yeah.
Big company wants to sign hot guy they don't have.
Right.
Duh.
Oh man, I would love to see Matt come back. I would absolutely love it. Even if, like, you know, it'd be crazy. Like, this is like out there in the realm of like almost impossible. But what if they came to like almost like the way soccer is internationally, where it's like, okay, we still have the contract for the guy, but we basically lease the guy to you for a little while. What if the TNA, because let's be real, TNA is not a threat to WWE's main audience.
And then they just have like in television, they just have a guest star for kind a couple
of.
Weeks.
Yeah. Like what if they just had like almost like a mini, almost like invasion type angle, but they don't hype it up as much as they did the invasion angle. And it's just that Matt Hardy starts showing up at events and watching with Brother Nero.
Right. Because if you sign Matt Hardy, you get both because he owns
the Hardy brand.
He owns Redacted.
The Hardy brand. And oh my God, you know how fucking absolutely rad it would be? Like dream radness if they could just say, you know what, Randy, take some time off because we're going to have
We have Matt fucking Hardy back.
He's going to show up on SmackDown and call out Bray Wyatt, and we could finally get the brother Nero Wyatt versus broken Matt Hardy feud that we all truly need
in our lives right now.
Oh, dude. Oh, my God. Those promos where it's just
until Bray loses because...
Oh, because he loses everything. But, I mean, if at least you're losing to broken Matt Hardy, who's hot as shit and not Kane. Like, I can't imagine those promos where it's like, hey, man, when the sun is high and your brother's begging you, do you believe? And then just like, bro, I can't even do the fucking whatever that accent is. It's like British and French and Cajun and American and nonsense. Anyway, sorry. I got all caught up in this dream fantasy booking. And we have to talk about the main event Monday Night Raw.
Which would have been a good main event. It was a cage match.
Lots of potential.
Well, in all fairness, the whole match itself is kind of weird and pointless. Because we have Roman Reigns wanting a rematch because he got screwed out of the championship.
Right.
Fatal four-way. Fair. He deserves one. He got screwed over just like Seth Rollins did. Mm-hmm. So he gets it. He gets his match. And then Seth Rollins interferes. And so the match gets restarted. But then Rusev interferes. Right. Okay. And so he loses. Roman loses his rematch. Okay. Fast forward a week. Now he has another match with Kevin Owens. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't know. It's
pride.
It's not a rematch. It's just another match because.
Right. He doesn't. He's not going to win the triple threat spot in this match.
Yeah. No, that's not up for grabs. It's just a match at this point.
I guess pride is maybe.
But then it's in a cage.
To keep out the people who interfered anyway.
And then that doesn't happen, but
I'm trying to play.
And then Seth gets in trouble because he promised he wouldn't interrupt the main event, but he does anyway. And so to punish him,
he fights Rusev.
Mick Foley says, "I'm going to punish you by having you do your job as a professional wrestler to wrestle."
Yes. Crickets. I don't really understand, because like part of me would be like, okay, well, maybe the punishment is that he's going to be in a very physical match with a dominant competitor like Rusev,
as but opposed it's to like not a, like he's a low card guy. He's
right.
The top of the company and somebody who should beat Rusev on any given day.
Right. Yeah. No, I yeah, I feel you. It's a weird. Is a weird pseudo
right. That's like catching a baseball player taking steroids and being like, as your punishment, you have to go out and play the next game.
That's not. To be fair, that wasn't his punishment. His punishment was having to sit through that long, long promo that opened
Mick
the show.
Foley.
Like that, like really. They'd been doing so well about not taking over the show the past couple of weeks. Like really they have. They've sprinkled in Mick and Steph just enough to keep the story going. And then this week it was just like a heavy dollop.
Right. And it's the Mick and Steph show.
Yeah. And it, you know, I mean there was moments that were good. I actually, despite what some people are saying.
And then we're also supposed to, speaking of Steph, we're also supposed to believe that she, for 3 weeks, hasn't talked to her husband about what he did on Raw.
Because
they're like, hey, Stephanie, you gonna talk about what your husband did? And she's like, I don't know why he did it. And you're like,
I mean,
do you see each other?
Or text?
Or
like literally like anything,
you know, this isn't like he showed up and gave out some ice cream bars in the front lobby at the start of a match, and everyone went, wait, why did he do that? And then she was like, lol, I don't know, he's weird sometimes. This is, he showed up.
I really want that to be like a TV show, like a, like on the network, just like a sitcom where it's just like Triple H doing nice, cool dad Triple H stuff, and then be like, Stephanie, why'd he do that? And then she's like, I don't know, he's weird sometimes. That's my H.
But no, he showed up and face planted Seth Rollins into a mat and gave Kevin Owens a win
right.
for the belt. Like,
it matters a little bit.
A little bit. And like, on one hand, sure, fine. I'm glad that they aren't just blowing their load and telling me the story immediately and then me having to wait as they just draw it out until to a conclusion. But this is just like, they punch me in the face and then like sit there and grin at me. And I'm like, why the fuck did you do that? And they're just like sitting there grinning at me. And I'm like, no, seriously, you need to
explain.
You need to tell me why you did that. And they're like, just like, no, it's great. It's
kind of gotten past the point of intrigue to the point of now it's like, okay, yeah, seriously.
Is this one of the many things that WWE is just going to brush under the rug? Because like
it didn't happen. Because like
we never got that lockbox, but sure, whatever.
Lockbox.
Remember Shane McMahon and his lockbox?
Oh shit! I actually, for a second, had no idea what you were talking about. It could be the sleep deprivation, but it also could be the fact that they just dropped it. Although I do remember, like on a Raw or something, like a week or two after WrestleMania, Vince just like offhandedly in the middle of another long-winded promo being like, and the lockbox is taken care of, and then just like didn't stop and like draw it a pause, just was like, and now I said it so fuck you, we're done. Yeah, oh my god, whatever happened? What was in that? They never told us what was in that lockbox.
No, it was supposed to be like really incriminating secrets about the McMahon family or something.
What the we never found,
and that it was gonna get released when he, if unless he got control of Raw, and then he didn't, and then
I hope Taker shows up at WrestleMania this year and then doesn't fight in his final WrestleMania, but just opens the lockbox in the middle of the ring, and then like inside is like a picture of Undertaker's dad, and then he's just like, why was this in the lockbox? And then Shane and Vince come out and go, because that's what really would control the Undertaker. The love he never got from his father. Just like strings, violins playing. Anyway, so yeah, the main event was kind of silly how it was very predictable.
Yeah, and then Roman wins. Why?
I don't know.
Because, I guess.
I couldn't tell if that was, and this is true, I couldn't tell if it was a botch on the ending. Because you see Kevin.
Yeah, because like the focus is Kevin crawling to the open door, and you're like, oh man, he's going to make it out. And then in the background, you see
Roman
the falling. Shadow of Roman slipping down the side of the cage.
Yeah, it was almost horror movie-esque. It was just like, oh god, what's falling in the back? It kind of looked like Kevin got caught up for a second on the ropes.
Like he was supposed to make it out, and Roman was like going to tease it that he didn't make it in time, but no.
Yeah.
It was definitely went as planned,
I guess. And then Rusev comes out and everyone's like, oh man, what's Rusev doing here? Eye roll,
right? And then
I actually did like the chaining into the cage and just beating the shit out of
Roman. I mean, it definitely makes Rusev look strong, but then they had Seth run out to make the save because
he's got beef with both, I guess. Also,
why would he make the save?
Also, well, I guess it's that it's like,
dude, if I had two enemies and I saw one destroying the other, I'd be like, I'm just going to walk away and let this happen.
But that's you saying that Roman's still the enemy. And I think that they're transitioning into they're both faces. I mean, I know that Roman's only a face because they say so, not because we accept it. But just because we call a tomato vegetable doesn't make it not a fruit. That's my oh my god, that's my Yogi Barbera or Yogi Berraism.
Yogi Barbera.
Yogi Barbera, Hanna-Barbera. Hey boo-boo. Yogi picnic. My brain is fucked.
Yes, it is.
That's my yogiism for the day.
Anyway.
I also was terrified when he jumped off the roof of the fucking cage, dude.
It was a big leap.
I every time he does something that is like intense on the knee with the lifting or the diving, I just hold my breath a little bit and just I'm like, oh man, we can't lose you too. If we lose Seth again, Roman's definitely getting the belt. Like I honestly wouldn't be fucking surprised. I mean, I'm it's gonna be ridiculous what I'm about to say, but you're already prepared for that. I wouldn't be surprised if Vince was like, put the belt back on Roman, and Trips legit just showed up and fucking was like, no, burial.
This is not happening.
This is an intervention on live TV. And then was just like, sorry, Seth, you're eating a pedigree. Belts on Kevin Owens. And Vince was like, God damn it. Why would you do that? And Trips is like, because nobody wants the belt on Roman. I bet if we called up Roman's dad would be like, don't put the belt on my son.
Hey, man. Otunga saw Roman's dad on a set.
Wait, not Roman's dad. I thought it was.
You saw Roman's dad on a set.
I thought it was the
Usos. Yeah, no, it was the Usos' dad.
That's Rikishi, right?
Yeah.
He saw Rikishi on a movie set. He saw Rikishi on a movie set.
Dude, somebody tweeted at Mauro and was like, what the fuck was that story? And he like responded and he's like, well, you're going to have to ask Otunga. And Otunga responded and he's just like, well, you see, the funny thing is I saw Rikishi on a movie set, ... It was like, I went from like being so pissed at this just to being like, okay, at least they're having fun with it.
They're enjoying themselves.
They're enjoying the fact that it was a shitty story that got brought up three times and never finished.
Well, that's good. It's important that you do that. Before we move on from Raw, first off, I wish that they never had the multi-man match, but instead just kept adding people to it and then never had the match. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
How many people did we get up to? 10? 12?
Well, it was a 10-man match, I think. Oh, so. My God.
We were sitting here and I was like, they're just going to keep going and making
it was two tag teams and a singles on each side.
They could have just made it a clown car and just kept jamming people into it.
And at the same time, though, like, why did that segment have to even happen? Like, I say this because they went for 3 hours and 20 minutes on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're going to go over the 3 hours.
They sure do.
Stop making it more than 3 hours. 3 hours is already too fucking much. You know, make your show 3 hours.
I fucking absolutely cannot stand it when it's like 10:57. And they're
starting the main event. Yeah. Like, okay.
Or like a match starts at like 10 till and I'm like, all right, well, at least it's, you know, final match and it should be over.
Commercial break.
Yeah, and you hear him go, as the action rolls on Monday Night Raw. And I'm like, no, just stay on the fucking, just finish the match. And that fucking multi-man match could have easily instead just been Jericho doing his thing, which was, he's great.
Uh-huh.
I actually thought it was hilarious him bringing out the list and being like, oh, the reason Mick, and then he calls out some dude in the crowd for no reason. Just have Sami Zayn come out there and throw some punches and call it. And then if you really want to have Shining Stars versus Enzo and Cass or Club versus New Day or some combination therein, then that's fine. And you can have that match. But it was just such a chaotic clusterfuck of just like, what is going on? And like, you know, I hate like 6-man tags work sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. They're kind of hit or miss. But
anything more than that
is just nonsense, except for the Survivor Series match, because the Survivor Series elimination match, you know, going into it, what it is. They always set up some sort of stakes of Team X versus Team Y.
And also, it's an elimination, so exactly. It doesn't devolve into 12 people in the middle of the ring pounding it out.
Yeah. And then also, speaking of pounding it out, fucking Alexa Bliss, or not Alexa Bliss, Dana Brooke. I'm sorry, I got the most attractive woman from one brand confused with the most attractive woman from another brand.
You're going with Dana Brooke?
I like Dana Brooke. Her look.
I can see that.
Dana Brooke getting just like fucking punched in the mouth.
Honestly,
by
most
Charlotte.
Attractive woman on Raw.
Yeah.
I might go with like Alicia Fox.
I could see that.
Alicia Fox is smoking.
I'm into Bayley, but it's a personality thing. Like,
See, she's definitely not classically attractive.
I don't know, man. That's what this podcast is just about to become, is us debating the philosophy of what is beauty on this podcast. No, but I like Dana Brooke. And also, I think that her character's gotten better and that she's gotten better in the ring. And I like that she was standing up to Charlotte. And then they just sort of like, she's just back to being Charlotte's protege bitch again.
Right? I don't know.
I did call, though,
last
week.
How many times does she have to get slapped in the fucking face?
Right before. And like, and it's like, how many times before she stands up for herself and then she does? And then it's like she has goldfish memory and is like, all right, Charlotte's my best friend.
And then you'd think Charlotte would push her away for standing up to her. But no, Charlotte's just like, lol, that didn't happen. She's with me still.
I mean, they tend to do that sometimes. It's like when Nikki and Brie Bella were like fierce, I'm going to kill you rivals for a little while. And then like within like a 2-week time period, they were back to
twin magicking.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. But no, I called it last week with Sasha and Bailey with the shoulders thing.
Uh-huh.
So proud of myself. Right on the back. And I was like, okay, Dana has a good point here. So I figured what Dana was going to argue was I should have another chance because there was no decisive victor. And instead, she does the protege thing of, well, no one should win, so there is no number one contender. And then Mick Foley's like, that's a great idea. We'll have a triple threat match, which obviously makes no sense. So it makes Charlotte seem a little dim that she was like, damn it, Dana, you gave him that idea. It's like literally, you could have just listened to what just happened. I said none of that. That's just Mick Foley being an old weirdo. And then Dana's like, pump, right in the face. And Dana just goes down. I'm like, come on, Dana. Like, come on. For real? Ugh. She's got, I feel like she has potential. And I feel like it's weird how they're kind of booking her back into this corner of being Charlotte's bitch.
Yeah.
C'est la vie, dude.
I read an interesting thought that SmackDown's women's division is mm-hmm. so much better because they're past the Divas Revolution.
What do you mean?
The Divas Revolution is the women going, look at us, we're different.
Mm-hmm.
But SmackDown's women are more just like, yeah, we know we're different. We're already moved on from that. We're just doing our thing now.
We're just wrestling.
Yeah, whereas the women are too hung up on saying they're different without actually being different.
On Raw.
Yeah.
I could kind of see that. I also think that they just... SmackDown has done a great job of building non-title women's storylines. Yeah, just making
the entire division and everyone feel important.
Right.
Go figure.
And it's like, so you do have people feuding for the belt. And hey, surprise, it's Alexa Bliss now. It's not just, you know, Nikki going after after Becky or Natalya going after Becky. And it's like having the Nikki Carmella feud going on is great. And then it lets Natalya and Naomi just sort of, you know, have heel versus face. Right.
Feud by matches. Default.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's wrestling. You're a heel, you're a face, get in the ring, fight it out. Sure. And then you get this great Becky Lynch, because Alexa Bliss has really come into her own quick, you know? So yeah, let's just roll into SmackDown.
Yeah. Well, I guess somewhat SmackDown related, potentially. Mm-hmm. We don't know. It's that Luke Harper's been cleared to come back.
Nice.
Get
the Wyatts back.
I guess it makes the most sense for him to go to SmackDown, mm-hmm. and I hope he does, because he'll have way more opportunity to shine.
Yeah, definitely.
But
and he's a good wrestler.
Yeah, but we'll have to see where they ultimately go with him.
Man, he's had some amazing matches with Dean, too. Like, those two have put on some great work.
They had a decent IC feud, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, for a little while there, yeah.
That was before my time.
But. That's okay.
So yeah, the women, the Usos are, I during their match, I had this weird thought where I was just going, you know, I'd be okay with a long Usos heel title reign. And like, it kind of makes sense. Like they, because really the SmackDown tag division is pretty weak. Like you have Slater and Rhino as your champs, and like,
which that, is that transitional. Can't last. It's transitional.
That can't last. Yeah. We all know it. And like, that's fine. Like, it's great. It was a great moment for Slater, and I'm glad for it, but they need to get those belts onto people that matter, and that'll happen very soon once the Usos get them.
Right.
And the outside of the Usos, they don't really have any strong teams on either side, face or heel. And so, like, American Alpha, yeah, they were made to become the new faces, the new big guys, mm-hmm. but, like, they're shown getting dismantled by the Usos.
Right.
And so I see the Usos just running train through the SmackDown division for a while.
And you look at the other teams, and here's the crazy thing, is that they kind of have a slight overload of heel tag teams. I mean, not that they've used any of them, because we haven't seen Vaudevillains in weeks.
But like Vaudevillains, Ascension,
mm-hmm. Usos,
Breezango.
Breezango. Yeah, those are all heels. And then on the face side, you've got
Hype Bros
and AA.
AA. And AA is kayfabe, the strongest ones.
Right.
And they're, you know, getting dismantled. So that means that Hype Bros, who just got destroyed by the Usos earlier, right. don't stand a chance.
Yeah, it's and wait, is Golden Truth? We haven't actually seen Golden Truth.
Golden Truth on Raw.
Okay. That's what I was about to ask, is I don't remember seeing them on TV regardless.
No, Golden Truth on Raw.
Or Big Show. That's what you were talking about, your little trivia thing.
Yeah, the three wrestlers who haven't been on TV since the brand split.
If you guys didn't listen to Ross Down Live this week, shame on you. Shame. But Bob's going to hit you up with a little trivia.
Right? Big Show, Paige, and Summer Rae. The only three wrestlers who were drafted during the draft who have not been on television since.
That's crazy. And Kane basically just made his
been on for the past couple of weeks.
But that's what I'm saying, is like it was like backslash, or I'm saying backslash now, damn it, Bob.
Ha.
When he I feel like he did something a couple weeks before that,
but he's had squash matches because
right man. So
also Kurt Hawkins still hasn't been on TV. Like
I'm starting to wonder if something's wrong.
He's been doing main event stuff, like pre SmackDown tapings.
Yeah, which makes me think something's wrong, that he's not on SmackDown itself. Like that either he's like, you know, instead of diving into the pool, dipping his toes, or is there something he's working through? Are they are they not confident in his like promo abilities? Like why have they been teasing him with and also this week on SmackDown, I don't think we got a video. I don't remember Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah, no, there was. It was stupid. I think you're out smoking.
That's a possibility. But they've been showing all these vignette videos. I'm just like, just fucking debut already.
Yeah.
And also
they're bad. They're bad videos. Yeah. Holy fuck.
They're doing like the Chuck Norris facts things about him.
Well, yeah, but even his live, like the past two have been actual live action with like him talking in them.
And oh god,
they're bad.
Oh baby, cannot wait. By the way, is there any word on is the Shelton Benjamin thing? I know he was injured.
Yeah, he's legit injured.
It was a rotator cuff. Is he just never coming?
I haven't heard any word. I haven't seen anything about it.
That's the most.
I imagine he's probably still under contract.
Right,
he probably will come back once his injuries cleared up.
Because I was listening to a podcast where he explained what happened was, you know, he was working a match in Japan. He took a hard, weird bump on a move that he'd never taken before. He felt a pull in his shoulder and his collar area, and then he worked through it. He did a few more matches over a couple more weeks, and then he went to a doctor right before he was supposed to go to WWE, and they were just like, oh yeah, by the way, this is fucked. Like, you should not have been wrestling with this injury. Which goes to a testament of what a badass the guy is in real life. Cause like, you know, tear something like that and still be throwing people up on your shoulders and throwing them around a ring is, pretty intense. And he even said he really wants to do it, but he's just not medically cleared. I really hope that at some point we do get a chance to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it will happen. But obviously not until things heal. And with that injury, that's going to be
a while, a little while, a couple months at the minimum. AJ Styles, I love him on the mic. I remember people being worried before he came here how his mic skills were going to be. And he cuts such good heel promos. And especially like in the ring with John Cena, Dean Ambrose and everything, just he's so good. Speaking of so good, my boy, my dude, retains his IC title without the help of his gorgeous wife Maryse.
Well, but with the help of
that was a clean spray. Win. That was a clean win. What are you talking about? I didn't see anything. All I saw was Miz hit the skull crushing finale and then pin Ziggler clean in the ring. That's what I saw.
I'm sure. You're also the ref, I guess.
I'm super Mark for Mizzy. It was really cool seeing him backstage with Daniel Bryan and them him being like,
yeah, no, I mean, he's still continuing to be great. Ever since that promo, he's just been on fire. So
good stuff.
Congrats
to me,
to the Miz,
and to me.
Sure, because you're a fan.
Yeah.
But the main event has a couple interesting facts here.
Is this Cena and Ambrose
match?
Which was a really fun match.
So it's pretty good, yeah. I mean, it seems that like Cena seems to be pretty obviously hurt from both his loss to Styles at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously threw that never give up band into the ring and. Like, obviously, he's fucking, like, emotionally hurt from that.
And the promo and then with him and Dean.
Dean, yeah, calling him a part-timer and, like, a slowed-down part-timer. Like,
is gorgeous.
He seems to just be, like, crushed by this. And it's going to be great storytelling because he's going to lose and then go away, be injured, and then come back strong and win the belt in 5 months or whatever. But anyway,
the Bob Fegney future cast.
It'll be a good story when it happens. But so Ambrose countered the AA into a roll up and beat Cena clean on SmackDown for the main event,
which is insane.
Because the last time that Cena lost clean on television,
like cable,
on Raw or SmackDown. Last time he lost clean.
Do you want me to guess?
Go for it. I have the exact date right here.
Oh, my God. Tell me if I'm getting hotter or colder. 2 years. Up higher? Longer?
Well, you gave me one point of reference. How can I give you a temperature off of that?
Oh, not a temperature then. Like higher or lower?
Oh, higher.
More years?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's been that long since he's lost clean on TV? 3 years.
Higher?
4 years?
Well, I mean, it's 16, so... yeah, more.
2012.
Later.
2011? We're getting to the last brand split. Wait, you're serious? The last time he lost?
Yes.
Clean?
Yes.
On cable?
Yes.
2010?
Later.
What? What on earth? 2009?
Yes.
What? Against who?
Trips.
Oh my God. Are you fucking kidding me,
October
bro?
October 19th, 2009 versus Triple H on Raw.
October 19th? So it was almost a 10, 11, 12.
7 years.
It's almost a 7 year anniversary for it. Christ. Are you fucking with me right now?
No.
That's insane.
Do you want to know the last time he lost clean on SmackDown?
Oh, that was on Raw? Holy shit. Was it in the same year?
No.
Oh my, 2008?
No.
Seven?
No.
Six? I mean, he debuted in like 05 or 04. It can't be that long. What? When was his last clean SmackDown loss?
Maybe I'm getting this wrong.
I'm like so confused because I'm like, they started protecting him early on, but I'm like, how early on? There's no way it's been over a decade since he's lost on SmackDown clean. I refuse to believe that's true.
I'm seeing what years he came into the WWE just to make sure I'm not completely wrong.
I think it was like 03 or 04. Like that's when Ruthless Aggression started.
Okay, no, yeah, he debuted in 2002.
Okay. And that's when he had the match against Angle.
Yes.
Okay, so I wasn't too far off in his debut. But you do have the date that he lost.
If my memory serves, I don't have the exact date, but if memory serves, his last clean loss on SmackDown was in 2003.
That is just absolutely ludicrous. He also has only tapped out like two or three times. Again, that's another don't quote us small package fans. But if my memory serves correctly, I think he's only tapped out like three times. I know he's tapped out to Angle before. But tapping out is not something that John Cena does. Much like lose clean, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lost clean at pay-per-views. I mean,
yeah, Lesnar. This isn't counting pay-per-views. Right. This isn't counting dirty losses.
Well, yeah, that too. I mean, he's
or run-ins lost. Or interferences or whatever.
Right.
But this is just straight up one-on-one singles match, clean loss. The last time it happened on cable television was in 2009.
That is a fact. You guys can take that home with you, podcast listeners. I'm talking to you, Nico, driving around LA, Mr. Norman, maybe Gabe, if he's not overwhelmed with wrestling this week. Maybe shout out to Will McGirl. He moved, by the way. He's not in Jersey anymore, so he can't come with us to wrestling shows. He moved to Oregon.
Ugh.
I know. So any other wrestling news? Hot shit from
No, that's all the notes I got. But we should, before we end, wrap up with Clash of Champions card, which I have pulled up right here.
Oh, wait, real quick. We forgot the most important thing that happened on SmackDown. Jack Swagger on commentary while Baron Corbin buried Apollo Crews. Oh. Apollo, why? Why are they doing this to Apollo?
I don't know, because they need somebody to eat losses. Like, I mean, that's the thing. If you have a wrestling promotion, you can't have everyone win all the time. Somebody's got to lose. And right now it's just Cruz. Sorry, buddy.
It's really sad, though, because like he's so athletically gifted. And
him and Corbin have put on some really good matches over the past few weeks.
That's true. Like they really have. And like that pre-show match they had, the kickoff show.
Yeah, whatever. It was amazing.
Are they calling it pre-show or kickoff now?
Pre-show.
Like that was such a good match for that mm-hmm. pre-show quality.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you don't really see that as much, like, you know, before the quote unquote main card, you know, kicks off. Also, we have a confirmed WrestleMania 33 match in Shaq versus Big Show.
Yeah, that's news for like 3 weeks now, dude.
Yeah, but I'm finally hearing that it's confirmed. It's news to me, it's still real to me, damn it. It's confirmed to me, but apparently there's also talk that Cena Undertaker might happen.
That to me is just fantasy booking, and let's just wait on Mania until it's fucking at least Rumble. Sheesh.
Dude, you can never start the hype train. You can never start the hype train for Mania too soon. Also, I've heard rumors that there's a chance that Hulk Hogan could be potentially back into the realm of good graces. Not I mean, in good graces.
He has been heard on WWE things. They've used his audio clips a couple times recently in packages.
Which is more than... Before they just completely...
Yeah. I mean, he's scrubbed from the website, scrubbed from the history book. Like, So,
oh, by the way,
maybe he can salvage it.
Pro Wrestling Sheet reports the reason Summer Rae's been off TV is that she has neck and back problems. She's dealing with injuries.
Well,
which is also why Paige is off TV, apparently.
Yeah, but this, it's so weird how WWE will make huge deals over some things, like the Rollins injury. Like, they made a whole fucking documentary about it, let alone tell us he's injured. But then you get these things and are just like, you know, Kalisto, Summer Rae, Paige, where they're just like, we have to hear these dirt sheet reports of injuries. Like, let us know when people are injured.
I mean, they didn't, like, Emma's coming back, but they, like, she's been...
Yeah, she's been doing house shows for Raw, apparently.
This report right here says that she's been medically cleared for a few weeks, and that she's frustrated they haven't worked her back into the mix yet, but, I mean, she's on Raw.
The word is that she's been doing the Raw house show circuit, so she's still... She's wrestling with the company, doing matches.
You know what?
Been brought on to television yet.
I'm gonna go ahead and kind of call this. What if Dana keeps getting pushed by Charlotte? Goes back to Emma, and then Emma gets a push out of this. I'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
Because you could also
put Emma into the main picture, the belt scene.
Exactly. And then Sasha and Bayley could totally fight each other.
Yeah, do their own thing.
Or at least I actually would prefer if they waited until one of the main four. For Bayley versus Sasha 1-on-1.
For sure.
Because Bayley Sasha 3 should be like, honestly, it should be like WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's where that I match agree. Should happen. But build up the feud.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a really cool thing if that's how they work Emma back into the mix. I would be very hopeful that would happen.
Have an Emma Charlotte feud over Dana.
Dude, you know what? We are in such a good time for wrestling, though, with how good the women's division is on both shows.
Mm-hmm.
Even if there's a little wonky booking when it comes to Raw, like just how deep they are right now. And we were talking, you know, months ago about, man, why are they splitting up and putting women on SmackDown? Why aren't they just keeping it all in one show? It's going to be too shallow to have storylines. And it's like, dude, in that 2-hour format, it's perfect. It's for you know, SmackDown. Raw just has to kind of utilize the women a little bit better. It just sucks because they also have so many more men as well.
Yeah.
All right, so here we are. Clash of Champions. Or is that how we're mispronouncing this
pay-per-view? COC.
It's the cock. All right, what's our cock predictions? Sponsored by Twitch Amp Energy Drink.
Pre-show is Fox versus Jax. I think it's pretty safe to say that Jax is going to get the win.
Yeah. I have a feeling that there's going to be at least a few matches on the card that I know of that we're going to have predictions like a Backlash where, God damn it, you have me saying Backlash. Where I'm going to be just like, sorry, I know this is not entertaining, but I'm not going to make a dumb pick just to go against Bob. Bob, Mr. I don't get pay-per-views. You're like, you're Mr. Pay-per-view over here.
Right?
The whole damn show.
If we had a belt like What Culture does, then I would be a long-time reigning champ.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Moving on. We have two regular matches, and then all of the other ones are for belts.
Okay.
The two regular matches are Cesaro v. Shamey in their final match, which I'm going to go Cesaro.
I really want Cesaro to win. I'm going to go ahead and say we all get swerved. And I'm going to make
gonna a... You're going to go with the Shamey?
I'm going to make a real dumb... Just like that, SummerSlam when I picked Dudley Boys? And I'm going to regret it because it's so obvious. Like, it's so obvious that Cesaro's going to win that he's not. Sheamus. Sheamus takes the series.
Okay, and then the last singles match with no stipulation, really. Well, I guess that one kind of has a stipulation. This one's just straight up fucking match. Zayn versus Jericho. Which I can see this going either way. I mean, my heart says that Sammy gets a boost off of Jericho.
Right.
But Jericho's gone over in a lot of his recent feuds.
Also, he beat AJ Styles.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, he beat AJ Styles.
I wonder if he's got that, like, Kevin Nash. I guess he
lost to Dean, but it was still not exactly, like...
I wonder if he's got that, like, Kevin Diesel Nash contract clause, where it's just, like, if he doesn't like the match, he can just
be like, veto nah, it. Just be we're like, just doing this instead.
I win this match. I'm gonna go Sami Zayn, because it's just, like, he could use the push more than Jericho could. Jericho's infinite legitimate. He's one of those guys that he doesn't have to prove anything anymore. Yeah.
Well, you'd say that about Kane, too, but...
Well...
Guess he needs a win over
Bray. Honestly, I felt like that was more about Randy Orton than it was Kane. Sure. It was Randy getting the upper hand. But it just made Bray look like a goddamn fool.
Yeah, but still, have Bray kill Kane and then have Randy come out and then him being all like, yeah, see what I just did to Kane? You're next.
Or even
Goldberg style.
If you want Bray to look crazy strong, let him get RKO'd and then kick out of Kane's pin and then beat Kane and then stare down Randy. We're going backwards in time. Why are we back on Backlash?
Anyway, yeah, on a different show, a different brand. So now we're moving on to...
Did you pick Sammy?
I think I'm going to go Sammy too. Sure.
Okay.
Now we're moving on to the championship matches. Okay. Let's go with Cruiserweights first. TJP versus Kendrick.
I'm going to say that they... Shit, fuck.
I'm going to go with TJP retains.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense because you build up your new young champion as somebody who establishes
over an older veteran talent.
But I have this weird feeling that they're going to put the belt on fucking Kendrick because he's got the tag team run with London and I'm going to go TJP.
Okay, so you're going with me.
Yeah, just... It would really suck to take the belt off of him this or his first appearance on WWE to take the belt off of him. I mean, you just talk about like delegitimizing somebody immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And delegitimizing the entire Cruiserweight Classic as a whole if the champion loses in his first fucking match against the guy who didn't make it to the finals.
Yeah, that's true. What's our next match?
We got Ruru versus Reigns for the U.S.
belts. No. No. I want Rusev to have this title forever. I want him to retire with this title. I want them to retire the title with him.
In all fairness, when was the last time we actually had a match for the U.S. title belt? I know you're going to say it was at SummerSlam, but that match didn't happen.
Oh, right.
It's been months since he's actually fought for the belt.
Yeah, but he still looks strong and he has the belt. And that's sometimes enough. I hope I'm going to go ahead and call what my heart truly wants, and that is Rusev to retain over Roman Reigns.
I'm also going to agree with you. He's had Roman's number, and maybe this will be finally his redemption for his wife that Roman technically owns the honor of.
So weird.
Because that match was for Lana's honor.
Does that mean something like in Bulgarian, something different? Is like, does he like claim Lana? I don't understand, man. Eastern European is foreign to me.
Moving on, we got the triple threat for the women Charlotte, Banks, Bayley.
I'm going to go ahead and call a Charlotte retain, and it causes a rift between Bayley and Sasha.
That's a good booking.
See, you probably didn't agree with me until I
I was gonna pull the trigger early and say that Banks was gonna walk out with the belt doing a heel turn.
Mm.
But your storyline is better. I'll stick with my idea.
So you call Banks?
Yes, I'll make the dumb decision for this match. Made the dumb decision for the Shamey one.
This is the kind of match where we could both be wrong too. But I doubt that
Bayley somehow walks out. I mean, she's technically the one who has beaten Charlotte.
That is true. And clean. All right. Does that leave us with the main event?
Nope.
Oh, shit. We got
the tags, which I've said this like for 8 recordings now, and I'm going to say it again. They need to fucking drop the belts on New Day and put them on the club. It seems like I've said this like 8 times now. Like,
you know what the problem is?
Club's got to win. The club's got to win.
Do you know what the problem is? Is that New Day kind of screwed themselves on this, because and I do say it is partially on them, because Xavier and Kofi and Big E came to WWE with all these wacky merch ideas where they were like, hey, we're going to be the cool, hip, young tag team. Here's some merch ideas.
Yeah, they can't exactly
and now
make them not relevant
anymore. And now it has taken off. And, dude, Bootios is a cereal you can buy at a store. So they like
will. 15 bucks.
They may just have to create a new tag team title belt to put on a different team. Because I'm telling you right now, I don't think that they take the belts off New Day, because they're selling too many of these floppy dick unicorn horns. And too
on
many.
The other hand, I'm going to say this. How many Stone Cold shirts did Stone Cold sell, and how long was he the champ?
I mean, I don't have... I'm running on fumes, so I have no statistics.
I'm just saying, like, if you compare
I guess
the huge names who sell a shit ton of merch, like, look at Cena. When was the last time he was champ? But you think Cena's slowed down in merch sales?
But he's here.
Dude, you can't even fucking see him.
But I know he's here. I've heard that he's here. I can't see him, but I've heard that is Champ there? Is Champ there?
So who you got for the tags?
I'm gonna call New Day retaining.
God, you're probably right, but I'm going with Club.
This is one of them good old fashioned Corey's probably right, but we hope Bob's right.
And then lastly we have Owens Rollins for the Universal Belt.
I'm going to call Owens retaining.
I'm gonna call all sorts of shenanigans. I don't think this match ends clean in any way.
No. It will not end clean. I'm looking at the forecast right now. There's about an 85% chance of dust on that finish. It's gonna be a dusty finish.
Yeah, no. I imagine Owens is going to still be the champion at the end of the night.
Yeah, that's
what I imagine.
It may just
the match
be him
will
running
be a
away.
DQ or
him running away.
Yeah, a count out or something.
I honestly wonder if we see Trips or not. That should be like a separate prediction.
Yeah, really? I say yes.
I say no.
Because I feel like they need to talk about it. Even if it's just another Trips runs in and squashes Rollins. Like, even if they just repeat that story.
Right.
I still think we're going to see him.
I think that they're going
to. Which I could totally see them doing, like Trips showing back up, pedigreeing Seth again, and then KO winning. And then they're going to finally push that storyline forward. It's like they meant to do it, but then they got caught up in other things. And they're like, okay, let's give the crowd a refresher and then move forward again.
I think that they're going to just straight up wait until we get. What's the next pay-per-view before Survivor Series? Raw has one more before Survivor Series, because I know we have No Mercy for
No
SmackDown.
No Mercy is SmackDown.
And then
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell. Yeah, that's where I'm going to call Trips returning. I'm going to call that Trips returns at Hell in a Cell, and that something shenanigans will happen at Clash. Kevin Owens will retain. Kevin Owens will come out on Raw and say, I don't have to fight you again because I beat you. They'll dance around that story for a couple of weeks. They'll give him a match at Hell in a Cell. And at Hell in a Cell, Seth will be beating Kevin Owens, and Trips will do some crazy, like, coming out from underneath the ring shit.
I feel like there's going to be shenanigans involving Trips at Clash, necessitating the need for the Hell in a Cell match. Thereby giving the reason for the match in the first, because you have to think they need some reason for it to be a cage match for the main event.
Right.
Like,
so we're both calling Kevin Owens retains.
Yes.
And are we officially calling a Trips return?
I am.
And I'm officially calling no return.
Yes.
So that's a prediction, right? Call that a prediction. So we disagreed on Sheamus.
Uh-huh.
We disagreed on the women's, and we disagree on Trips return.
Yeah.
So those three will be the deciding factor as to whether or not who wins
Small Package presents Cock Predictions, sponsored by Amp Twitch Energy Drink. Level up.
I wonder if they still listen to the show. What was the name of that lady? Oh no. Don't forget her. Bob didn't forget her name. He dropped his microphone, everybody. He dropped his microphone. He knows it. Bob, hold on. I got to give him chest compressions. He needs CPR. He knows. He knows the name. Hold on.
One, two, three.
One, two, three.
Don't you die on me, Bob. One, two, three. Fuck. Come on. Don't you die on me, Bob. Come on.
Oh, he's back. Oh, thank God.
Jessica Luchin.
Oh, thank you, Jessica. Shout out to Jessica. Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Send us more Amp Energy Drink.
No, don't. I'm fine.
You just fucking blew our fucking sponsorship possibility future, Bob. We could have been somebody. We could have been the Amp. We could have been Small Package, brought to you by Amp. It's liquid. Drink it. Anyway, so I guess that about wraps it up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you everybody for tuning in. This upcoming week, we might be posting Small Package a couple days later. We're kind of trying to figure this out. I'm going out of town to Georgia. I'm going to maybe possibly interview some wrestlers down there in a indie league near Chattanooga. So we'll see what happens with that. But regardless, we'll be using our Twitter at Small Package POD. That's POD like podcast or the band. You can also find Bob at Bob Fackety and me at CB Poindexter. We'll be tweeting out during Clash of Champions. I'll be tweeting out at Clash of Champions. Bob may be tweeting out during Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
Who fucking cares? Anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week right here. Same bad time, same bad channel, right here on the Small Package Show.
That sounds on so the funny. Small Package Network.
On the Small Package Network. Small Package!